for AntiWar.com and Chaos Radio 95.9 in Austin, Texas. I'm Scott Horton. This is AntiWar Radio. All right, y'all. Well, you think I hate the government. Check out this guy, Lou Rockwell. Welcome back to the show, Lou. How's it going?
Hi, Scott. I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to have you back.
Happy post-taxation day.
Yeah. Well, and to you, too. Everybody, Lou is the proprietor of LouRockwell.com, which is the biggest and most important libertarian website on the Internet. Go look at it. It's L-E-W, Rockwell.com, and he's the president of the Ludwig von Mises Institute. He wrote a couple of books. The last one is called The Left, the Right, and the State, which belongs, you know, through your eye holes in your brain, as well as all his great articles. And, Lou, I ain't going to lie to you. I sit here and I leave your blog open in one of my tabs all day long and hit refresh over and over again. It's great.
Oh, well, thank you, Scott.
All right, so now here's my problem. I got a chip on my shoulder. Well, so I just interviewed this guy named Syed Salim Shahzad, who's a reporter for the Asia Times. And he was in Islamabad, Pakistan, which means that ipso facto, my rights were just violated by the national government of the United States. One end of the phone conversation was in another country, and so the Fourth Amendment does not protect me.
Also, you were talking to a guy with an un-American name and who probably belonged to an un-American religion and, of course, was in an un-American country.
Yeah, I mean, un-American indeed. How far away from America can you get than Pakistan anyway?
Yeah, that's right, unless, of course, you're in the American-occupied parts of Pakistan.
Right, but that's different. Well, so anyway, I just thought I'd make a National Security Agency joke there. Listen, I've actually been having a really good time looking at your website because you've got this optimism bug going on about, you know, libertarian taking strides all over the planet Earth. Let's talk about that.
Sure. You want to talk about what, Brazil or
well, what's making you optimistic? I'm looking at the news all day and I do nothing but complain, but you've been I can tell by your writing you've been feeling better and better about how successful you and the rest of us have been and are becoming at pushing this libertarian ideology on people.
Scott, I'll know we're successful when you take Rachel Maddow's place.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be the day, you know. We'll wait around.
I think we are making progress, and I see it among the people. I mean, of course, the regime itself seems to me it gets, you know, crazier and more out of touch by the moment. I mean, Obama, you know, announcing yesterday, and of course to the plaudits of the Republicans, that now he's going to have an expedition to an asteroid and spending a quazillion dollars shooting money out of rockets and the rest of the stuff. Although it actually gave me an idea. I know that President Obama, even though he's happy to wage wars and murder people left and right all over the world, just by, I'm sure, the merest happenstance, he himself was not in the army. But I think, you know, he's a great shape. He's a young guy. After he's president, why shouldn't he lead the expedition to the asteroid himself? I mean, I think he should take Rahm Emanuel with him, and he could have his own planet that way.
They just socialize the costs, and then some, you know, Dianne Feinstein's husband's company would get all the mineral rights.
Well, why don't we send Dianne, too? That would be, I bet we could come up with a great expedition.
See, that's my idea for the airstrikes on Iran. Just drop the neocons on Iran from the sky. You know, see how they like it that way.
Well, that's pretty mean of you, Scott.
Yeah, well, I'm
to the Iranians.
I'm a mean guy. Yeah, well, I know. I was thinking it would be bad for the collateral damage on the ground and everything, but ultimately, you know, got to break a few eggs. You know how it is. It's the neocon philosophy. All right. So let's talk about central banking and war. This is one of the reasons why the libertarian message is getting out, obviously, is because Ron Paul, who's as good a libertarian as anybody could find at LouRockwell.com, actually has a seat in the House of Representatives and gets to go on TV all day long. And all he talks about is central banking and war. Lou, what's the big deal?
Well, this is, in fact, nothing new. I mean, I've known Ron since the middle 1970s. And while over the years he's put more emphasis on foreign policy, but that's always been his big emphasis besides central banking and economics. So he's always understood as all the great classical liberals and libertarians throughout history have understood that, you know, that war is the worst aspect of the government. I mean, it's the most destructive, the most murderous, the most expensive thing government does, and it gives them also the excuse, unlike everything else they do, of suppressing dissent, of making anybody who differs with them into some kind of hate criminal, and of giving them an excuse to put you in jail eventually if you say things they don't like, if you're guilty of sedition or defeatism or any of these other made-up crimes that the governments like to accuse people of. So this has always been an emphasis of Ron. He's always emphasized this. And because of his presidential run and because of the work of that he's done for so long and all our great heroes and intellectuals have done for so long, Rothbard and the others, he is getting a hearing. And as Justin Raimondo, who has a great column today on antiwar.com, points out, Americans are rightly terrified about the economy. We get the propaganda, of course, from the government of everything's getting better, and every day and every way we're getting it better and better. No regular American feels that. We all know that there's very serious economic troubles in this country, that things are getting worse. They may be living it up on Wall Street and the other, and in D.C. and the other precincts of the empire. But among regular people, the regular taxpayers, we know that we're being hurt and we're going to be hurt even more. So people look around for a solution. And when they hear Ron Paul, either in person or they hear him on television or on the radio, they read what he has to say, when he says, you know, we have to cut. Everybody knows we have to cut. The media may not say that. Obama may not say that. Boehner and the rest of the Republicans may not say that. But people know it, and Ron is saying we have to cut the empire. And it's a brilliant political thing, too, because he's exactly right. No regular American gets any benefit out of just the reverse, of course, nor cares about whether the U.S. has got a gigantic Marine base, to take one of 730 examples, in Okinawa. A very controversial thing right now where the Japanese would like to get this base out of Okinawa, and the U.S. wants to simply move the base. And there are 50,000 Marines there, plus dependents and so forth. Why is that? Why, after all these years, after World War II, is the U.S. still militarily occupying Japan and especially Okinawa, bringing crime and sleaze? And you only have to look at any American military base and see what's around it. No regular people want to be around such a thing. So Americans, when they think about it, they think, well, geez, I'd much rather cut something like the military base in Okinawa than, even though they should be wanting to cut all the spending here at home. It's just much easier, and it would be actually the best thing, the best cutting that could take place. Obviously, domestic spending, welfare spending, corporate welfare, all of the horrible things they do, bailing out Wall Street and the banks and all that, is unbelievably evil and corrupt. But every American, just like every American was opposed to the bank bailouts, except people connected to the regime, no regular American cares about the empire. When it comes right down to it, when it's their livelihood, their family's livelihood, their economic future, whether they're even going to have a job or food on the table, they will all say, bring the troops home. So finally, people are listening to Ron Paul, and this is resonating. And, of course, we know his work against the Fed and for honest money and for why deficits are wrong, and his mainstreaming of Austrian economics and Austrian business cycle theory has just been, you know, it's a dream come true for all of us. But his anti-war position, his anti-imperialism position, is so powerful. And as Justin points out, these are issues that were considered too crazy, except for people like you and me, Scott, to ever discuss, that nobody would ever agree with us, just nuts, it's crazy, wacko, those sorts of criticisms, which there are no arguments ever made. It's just politically incorrect, don't mention it. So it's a great moment in American history. They have wrecked our economy. We haven't begun to see, by the way, the bad effects of what they've done to us. But in this kind of a crisis situation, good change can come about. And so I think that the government's crazy. They'd like to all put us in the gulag and that sort of thing. And what was it Obama said yesterday? That horrible that people were complaining about paying taxes. They should be grateful to him. Now, I thought that was funny. Like, the taxes are going to him personally. Maybe they are going to him personally. Who knows? But that's a maniacal, messianic kind of a comment to make. But who doubts that they're, you know, these people, and people go into government for the most part because they're power mad. Yeah. They have a lust to rule other people. So That's the way they think. But regular Americans, this is what Murray Rothbard dreamed of all his life. This kind of populist resistance, the good aspects of the Tea Parties, there's just a lot of anger in this country, and we hear this demonized all the time, of course. Don't be angry, love the government. But people are angry, they should be angry, because as Murray said, as important it is for us as libertarians to explain, for example, economic error to somebody, or why foreign policy is why wars and other foreign policy episodes are damaging to our civil liberties and to our economy and so forth. It's always also important to point out to people, you're being ripped off. People are ripping you off through their wars, through their inflation, through their bailouts and all the rest. People are angry, and real change can happen. Now, this is, of course, not exactly anything that's necessarily in the cards. We have to make it happen. We have to educate people. We have to stir up people. And we have to do everything possible to bug the media. If they're getting upset, you know good things are happening.
Right, yeah. Well, and they are certainly upset. It's almost funny to watch, except for the scary part. Well, anyway, here, I'm going to make up a quote that I'm sure you've heard a million times. I'm making it up as a quote of something somebody told you, but same thing that they've told me, which is that, wow, I was a young Republican warmonger until Ron Paul ran for president, and then I realized, oh, yeah, that old guy's right about all this. And it seems to me, it seemed to me then, even in 2007, the first thing I knew when I read on your blog that he was running for president was that this is the permission slip to conservatives that they've been waiting for but didn't know they had. I guess if they read the American Conservative magazine, they'd have known they were all right or whatever. But the common conception was, you got to be Michael Moore or Cindy Sheehan to be anti-war, and I'm just not like them. That's what a lot of people thought. And Ron Paul said, oh, yeah, well, I'm a Republican from Texas, and I say, you know, not only do I prefer peace, but we absolutely must have peace right now. How do you like that? And they said, oh, good. So that means I can say that too, and I can still be a Christian and a patriot and a Republican and be a peacenik and not have to be Michael Moore. And it seems like, you know, that's really where he's made so much progress. And as Justin points out in that article, no matter what they ask him, well, what are we going to do about Social Security, Ron? Well, we've got to end the empire. And first thing we got to do is get out of Iraq and Afghanistan. That'll fix your Social Security. You know, it seems like you know, maybe there really is opportunity for the libertarians to lead a left-right coalition to really end the war. Because, you know, this is, to me, Lou, I'm sorry to just go on and on here, but to me, the most important thing is stopping the war. You know, having all of my libertarian agenda in the future, history of humanity and whatever, great. But right now, the most important thing is America's relationship with the other countries in the world, particularly the ones we're occupying, and the absolute destruction of whatever traditions of liberty we have left in this country in the name of that war. And it seems like, you know, we can't just get all conservatives and liberals to become libertarians, but we can lead them and form a new coalition. As Ron mentioned on Larry King last week, he used that term, the new realignment, and get the progressive left and the paleo right, led by the Lou Rockwells of the world, to really put an end to this empire post haste, before the collapse, just because it's the right thing to do.
You know, Ron has such an amazing facility for explaining things in a way that just pierces people and makes them think. I mean, when you hear the typical guy in office talking, you turn it off, right? Even if somebody you really don't mind, you can't listen to them too long because it's all balderdash. But with Ron Paul, he's got that facility. I mean, I'm just on a slightly different topic. I remember him talking about at one point about the bank bailout. And he said, I'm not for the Fed ever printing money. I'm not for the federal government spending, you know, all this deficit spending. But he said if they had to spend that amount of money, you know, what they could have done if they were concerned about actually stimulating the economy was to abolish the federal income tax for a year. Get rid of every single American's income tax. Well, you know, that's the kind of thing that somebody's thinking about. Hey, wait a minute. You mean I could have paid no income taxes or J.P. Morgan and Company and Goldman Sachs could have gotten richer? That's not a difficult choice to make. So even if people aren't quite ready to come along with us on what's wrong with the Social Security system, which, of course, has been a horrible program, economically extremely damaging from the very beginning, when Ron says, look, Social Security is going to have to be cut, but we don't have to do that right this minute. It's morally and economically and important in every other sense to stop the wars. And, of course, this is why your anti-war radio was important. You've always been a leader on this. And it's this is the important issue. As Rothbard always said, this is always the key issue. And conservatives, to quote Joe Sobran, he said conservatives are opposed to all big government programs unless they're killing people. But that wasn't always true. And until Bill Buckley came out of the CIA with money from who knows where and started National Review magazine and set out to purge the, if we call it the conservative movement, it wasn't called that in those days, but the right wing or whatever, purge it of any anti-war sentiment, purge any leaders of the anti-war movement, intellectual leaders, John T. Flynn and all the rest of them. Until that happened, there was an anti-war old right tradition. Murray Rothbard's book, Betrayal of the American Right, goes through all of this about what happened, what was better about the past on this issue, and why it was all changed by Buckley. But Ron Paul is changing it back. Mm. I mean, let me
interject real quick that just so happens that today on LouRockwell.com is Murray Rothbard's Chapter 11 from that book, A Decline of the Old Right. And it's about how the CIA used the Buckley regime to take over the right wing. And it's I've read this one before. It's really good. So I'm sorry. Please continue there.
No. And, of course, and you're right to talk about the CIA again, because this is also where the neocons came from. I mean, Irving Kristol and company came out of the Congress of Cultural Freedom, which was a CIA threat organization that gave them the money to start their magazines, gave them the money to propagandize for the warfare state. And this is what the CIA's, you know, some people seem to believe the CIA when they say they weren't involved in domestic affairs, although it's legal for them to be involved in domestic affairs. Now they're, of course, openly involved in domestic affairs.
Well, and it's funny, too, because it's the official history that everybody knows, that the CIA funded the so-called moderate left throughout Europe all through the Cold War to keep them anti-commie and keep them in NATO and that kind of thing. So why would anybody think that they do any different with the right wing? Make sure and keep pro-war and pro-banker.
But we're not supposed to have any bad thoughts about the CIA. Why, Scott, they're protecting our country from terrorist attacks. You know that.
Oh, man, am I in trouble if I'm not supposed to have bad thoughts about the CIA. Boy, oh, boy. Just the bad thoughts that former CIA agents say on this show about the CIA could, boy, cost me.
Well, it's an organization, if we just want to put it as a thumbnail sketch, that engages in murder, theft, lying, and, you know, meddling in other people's lives overseas, meddling in people's lives here, framing people, framing the innocent. Torturing people. It's, of course, a criminal gang. The whole government is a criminal gang, as Rothbard said. And if anybody who's not a libertarian, if they want to understand how we think about the government, it's a criminal gang. It's a gang of thieves. And if you understand that we think that, then you'll understand really everything from libertarianism follows from that. So the CIA is an openly, you know, it's like the, I don't know, it's the button man squad of the criminal gang. So, yeah, it's a particularly bad bunch, and the idea that we're supposed to love them and have their former leaders be our presidents, as in the case of George H.W. Bush and Bill Buckley, and there were many of the conservative intellectuals in the 1950s and 60s who came out of the CIA, and we're supposed to think this is a happenstance? No, of course, it was a deliberate, very, very successful domestic propaganda effort that hampered and wrecked for a time the right-wing anti-war movement. But it's all back. And you're exactly right. Ron Paul makes conservatives realize you don't have to be for murdering people who look different from us or have a different religion or for the sole reason that they don't want to obey Obama or Bush or whoever is the dictator of the moment. And this is, of course, the U.S. government engages in murder, mass murder. And just because people wear government suits when they're murdering people doesn't change the nature of the act. It's still murder. Just like people may be wearing government suits when they steal your money, it's still theft. So this is the key issue. It's the most important issue. It's always been, ever since Buckley, the most difficult issue. But as you say, it's all changed. Ron Paul has changed it. And I hear, like you do, from I can't count how many people of all ages, young people especially, but people of all ages, about how they were sort of unthinking neocons until they heard Ron Paul. And typically they'll say, you know, when I first heard him, I thought, well, that's just nuts. But then they say, well, you know, I began to think about what he said, and I thought, well, wait a minute, that makes sense. So that's, Ron Paul has that effect. I can tell you that Joe Biden has never had that effect in his life.
Well, the other, yeah, the no other, question about
never
that.
Never had anybody rethink so, something.
No, might, well, maybe some people at AIPAC realize, wow, I could vote Democrat or something.
So Ron is just, he's an amazing man. He keeps getting better. And he's always been a good speaker, but he gets to be a better and better speaker. He's just can explain things so well. He's
Lou, in a poll, like, he was 1% away from the sitting president.
Yeah, quite something. And, of course, everybody very upset about that, or they don't mention it. I mean, I've noticed in the last day or two when the political shows talk about who's doing what in the polls and so forth, he's the unmentionable. But that doesn't matter because nobody who's paying attention to Chris Matthews or Keith Olbermann and believing them is a potential Ron Paul voter anyway. And the potential Ron Paul voters are either watching these people like I do and hating their guts, or they're paying no attention to them. Either is fine. Yeah. But Ron is winning converts day by day. All over this country, all over this world. I came back from a trip to Brazil to celebrate the founding of the new Mises Institute in Brazil, and they were very nice to invite me and other people from the U.S. Mises Institute down there. But I can't tell you how many young people said, because they hoped they were going to get Ron Paul. He wasn't able to make the trip, and people kept saying to me, you know, he could get a respectable number of votes running for president of Brazil. And, you know, it sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke. All over this world, not only over this country, Ron appeals to people. I mean, he's like he shows people all over this world that we're not all ugly Americans, that we're not all killers, that we're not all thieves. We don't want to dominate their lives. We're not interested in occupying their countries, blowing up their homes, and stealing their money and doing all the rest of the things the empire does. Shows that Ron Paul represents the good America, the real America, and he's like an internet, you know, it's a cliche, but he really is an international ambassador for peace and goodwill, even without going to these countries. Everybody watches him on YouTube. They pay attention to what he writes. It's quite extraordinary. I don't know of any, I've never seen anything like this in my life, anybody who had that kind of impact for good all around the world.
Yeah, it really is something else. And it's really, more so for you than me, but I've been following him since he went back to Congress in 97. And still I have this whole thing where we used to say, did you know that there's this one good congressman? And he was always this underground phenomenon and all this stuff. But now everybody knows him. And I see reporters who I've never seen before say, well, Ron Paul is saying this and that like he often does. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy has heard Ron Paul often. And, you know, that's progress right there, because I know that, you know, I don't have to even worry at all. I know that whatever it was that he heard Ron Paul was saying was, you know, pretty much exactly what I would have had him say. But now we got to wrap this up in the last few minutes here, Lou, getting back to central banking, because, I'll make it a question that makes sense here. I saw Ron Paul on TV say that inflation was a hidden tax, and that had something to do with all this imperialism. Lou, what in the hell was he talking about?
Well, you know, Scott, if we didn't have central banking, there never would have been able to be world wars in the last century. There never would have been able to be a Cold War. They couldn't run the wars they're doing right now because there's no way that Americans or any other people, for that matter, would put up with direct taxes sufficient to fund the warfare state, which is far bigger than they admitted to being. So the way they do it through the hidden tax of printing up money. And so the Federal Reserve is the bloodiest, I mean, it might as well be an adjunct of the Pentagon. They might as well just make it the sixth side of the Pentagon, because it is absolutely essential to the warfare state. And it's the fact that when Bush, for example, or now Obama, asked for another, you know, quadrillion dollars to murder more people in Afghanistan or Iraq or Pakistan or Iran or wherever they're going to do it, there's no thought about, nobody worries about an appropriation. Nobody worries about actually having to either borrow the money or tax the money. They just print it. But that's also something that's coming to an end, because economic laws can't be repealed. And the things the federal government is doing have effect. So when they borrow as much as they have, they inflate more than, you know, like Weimar Germany, even though we're not seeing the effects of it yet fully. And they, of course, already are taxing us. They're planning to introduce a VAT tax and then tax us even more. But the whole government, the whole regime is in big economic trouble. They, of course, have put us in economic trouble. But Ron Paul, I mean, I've been interested in the Fed for decades, and I never could get anybody else interested. Ron Paul, in his campaign, got millions of people in this country and all over the world to think, hey, wait a minute, here's this organization. It's not just a name on the bill in my pocket. It's ripping me off. It's ripping me off, lowering my standard of living so that the merchants of death and the merchants of fraud on Wall Street and in the banking industry can get rich at my expense. He made people interested. He explained how it causes the business cycle, why things like our present recession, depression are exactly the fault of the Federal Reserve, and again, why we could not have the wars, the killing, the murders, the oppressions, the corpses piled mountain high, as they have been ever since central banking was introduced in the U.S. in 1913.
Well, just to bring that right to
that without it.
Just to bring that right to the ground level, if people just remember back how it was in 2002 and 2003, they promised this Iraq war specifically was going to be free. That whatever's slight cost, a couple of few tens of billions maybe, would be picked up by the Iraqi oil, and you get a stimulus check in the mail and a tax cut. And so, come on, we're going to war. And they could never have done it if they said, all right, this is going to cost $3 trillion. Everybody, you just got bumped up 2 tax brackets. How do you like that? They could have never done it. It's as simple as that.
No, and there's something that historians talk about is war fatigue. And what they mean is wars have typically stopped in history because the taxpayers finally just had it. However, we don't have that. We haven't had that check in this country because of central banking. So it's Ron Paul, it's the cause of peace as well as the cause of economic prosperity, the cause of justice, and the cause of our standards of living and our children's standards of living, to get rid of the Fed, to target the Fed, to educate people about the Fed. So in what he's done in attacking central banking and attacking the empire, the two most important things, and what a great moment it is to be alive as these start to resonate with the American people.
Right on, everybody. That is Lou Rockwell. He's the president of the Mises Institute, the author of The Left, the Right, and the State, and proprietor of LouRockwell.com. That's LEW, Rockwell.com. Thanks very much, Lou.
Thank you, Scott.